Hello and welcome to episode 31 of the Game Train podcast. I am Callan Davison, and joining me back from surgery and in part recovery, Carl Smith. Hello, Carl.
Hey, I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about disappearing there for a little while.
I would just like to say a quick special thanks to Mark Santamartino and David Peffer for helping us out with the two episodes that Carl was away for. But now it's over to Carl to host this episode.
Hello. Wow. Okay. This feels like brand new again. And yeah, Dave and Mark, you guys were awesome. It was actually really refreshing listening to our own podcast with these new guests. I wish I was there to say hello and have a chat, but it was, you guys really held it well together. So thank you for that. And thanks, Callan, for holding the fort while I was gone. It's nice okay. work. But, you know, let's stop with all this mishy mushy stuff and let's get on with the news. Alright, so a new Overwatch character, another one, Hero 27 they're up to, and her name is Brigitte. It looks like Bridget.
So Bridget.
But it's totally not, apparently, according to someone. She's a tank slash support character. She's Torbjorn's daughter. She sounds really interesting. She's got some interesting moves there. Apparently they said it was just about making someone who's a healer that can just like make annoying little people like Tracer and Genji go away when they're trying to heal. So that all sounds like a win to me.
Yep, agreed. Bridget, can't wait.
Yep, keen. She's coming soon. You can apparently test her out on the PC version at the moment.
Yes, on the PTR, out. The player test realm. So if you're on PC and you want to check her out, just jump on there and you better try the new hero.
Also, Outlast, the super duper scary game. It just came out randomly for Switch. It's out right now. There was no mention. There was no release date. It's just out. It even has the Whistleblower DLC attached to it. And apparently Outlast 2 is coming soon. There is no release date, but there wasn't one for this one either. So could be tomorrow, could be next week. Who knows? But yeah, part 1's out now. That game's actually really fun. I loved it, and it's terrifying. So if you haven't had a go yet or you want to take it on the go, jump on and check it out. Sony Interactive Entertainment Australia is pleased to announce, this one's pretty interesting, that the global sales of Horizon Zero Dawn has exceeded 7.6 million copies since it launched exclusively on PS4. And that is exceptional year one sales. So that was 1 year. And now they say that it is the most successful new first party franchise to launch on PS4. It beat Bloodborne. That's pretty cool. Well done, Guerrilla Games. Speaking of Bloodborne, I thought I might just throw this out right now. It's on the PlayStation Plus games on March. It's one of the games. Like, they just threw in one of their best games ever.
So does this mean you're going to be also doing the Bloodborne challenge, Carl?
No, I have Bloodborne. And no way. You don't want to see how fit I would get if I did the Bloodborne challenge. It would just be me doing push-ups for, like, hours on end and not even playing anything. And worth mentioning, Ratchet & Clank is going to be available as well. And Mighty Number 9. I'm so keen for that because it's a game I was so excited about and then it got smashed in reviews. But I was like, oh, I still want to see it. But the reviews were so bad. Now it's free. So that's all happening on March the 6th.
Cool.
So until then, jump on and grab the February games while you can. Which Rhyme is one of those. So if you haven't played that, do that. Yakuza 6 demo was accidentally released as the full game for several hours.
Yep, so those that lucky enough downloaded that when it first released got a full game for free.
Yeah, now this is funny because Callan messaged me and said, hey, check out the Yakuza demo. You should download it. It's really big and apparently there's a lot of it. And I messaged straight back going like, nah, it's too big, 30-something gigs. I'm not keen to do that and then do it all over again when it releases. So Callan was like, oh, okay. And I guess you just agreed and didn't do it either?
No, but it wasn't actually for Australia that got the freebies. It was, I think it was the US or the UK.
Oh, right. Okay, well, I don't feel so bad because the next day you texted me and was like, bet you wish you downloaded it now. Also, Far Cry 5 has already released its DLC plans. It's got like three sort of, you could call them like standalone. you know, kind of like the Blood Dragon for Far Cry 3. And there's all these different themes. One will have you killing zombies. One sends you to Mars to kill Martian giant spiders. Not keen. One is like a time-traveling trip to the Vietnam War, which is very strange because it's the first time they're doing something set in reality. Like actual events, so that's really interesting. More details out and about there, but I thought that was kind of interesting and worth mentioning.
Also, today, a live-action trailer for Far Cry 5 released as well, so go check that out.
Oh, yeah, yep. Getting pretty hyped for that. And, yeah, I was going to ask you, how do you feel about these guys that have all the DLC ready and announcements well before game launch? Like, you know, are you keen? Are you not keen? Like, is that weird for you?
I guess it makes selling a season pass easier, but at the same time, it's like, when are you going to release all this stuff? Like, I find it hard to go back to a game, like, after not playing it for a year. Like, I tried going back to Horizon Zero Dawn when that DLC released for that. Played half an hour of it and just put it down again. Like, I just couldn't get back into it. I lost that spark for it.
Yeah, and I don't know if I could do, like, even Wolfenstein. Like, I loved it so much, but as they release new things, I don't know. I guess we're a bit different in that we just jump from game to game to game, and by the time it happens, we're like 12 games later.
Yep.
Like, I don't know how to play you anymore. That's the news. But yeah, so that's all the industry news, but we have a little bit of Game Train news to add on to this today. Firstly, we have a website. Ta-da!
Yay!
It's up and it's live and it's finally easy to find us. Easier than ever. It was already easy, but now it's just www.gametrainpodcast.com.
Yes.
That's it. You go there and you can check out, like, all of the podcasts will be there. There's a special page that shows, like, all our review scores from all the past ones. You know, I'm trying to catch up. I've got quite a few on there, but, you know, we're adding them as we go, and it'll have every review score we've ever given for past episodes and the new ones. It's got the games we play as we finish them and just a little, you know, something we write about. But, you know, you go on the homepage and you can just check out everything we've said about this current episode. And, you know, it just keeps you up to date and it can link you straight to our Podbean, our iTunes, everything's up there. And, yeah, we'll let you know as that evolves, I suppose. But, most importantly, I should mention this. You know, if you have any questions or you want to contact us now, you just go straight there, you know, and right at the bottom, it's just got contact us. Just press send and it'll come straight at us. You got any questions for the podcast, etc., just do it on there.
Also, remember, you can find us on Twitter at GameTrainTalk, on Instagram at GameTrainPodcast. On Podbean at podbean.com/GameTrain and Facebook at facebook.com/GameTrainPodcast.
Bam. Look at that. We're everywhere. You can't even get away from the Game Train right now. And you can't even get away from the Game Train even if you're all the way in LA, it appears, because our next bit of news, which we're extremely excited about, ladies and gentlemen, Game Train are going to E3 2018.
All aboard.
Kellen and I are just pretty stoked. We're still just screaming and jumping up and down like children every day. As soon as I press off on this recording, I go back to screaming at high pitch, going, oh my God, we're going to E3. What is going on?
Yep.
So that's very exciting. We're going to be covering it officially. We have our media passes in the bag, ready to go. Holy moly.
Yes. So yeah, it's pretty exciting going international.
Yeah, so I can't wait. There's so many people I want to meet and questions I want to ask and things I want to do. How are we going to do it all in 3 days? I don't know, but we're going to try.
Yeah, and so we'll try and produce as much content as we can.
For the event.
Probably do a special podcast over there, see what interviews we can get. So, yeah, so stay tuned because we don't even know what we're going to be covering yet.
No, not yet. So, that's really thrown a little thing in there. Like, it's just so early to find out. And we're like, now we got to be hyped for all these months leading up. Whew. All right. So anyway, that's the news, guys.
Hold up. There's one more little bit that we can throw in here.
Whoa. Okay. Pull it back. Callan's got something.
Yeah.
Stop the press.
Also, on top of all the website and the E3 news, we've got some other Game Train news. We are looking at dipping our feet into the streaming world. So,
oh yeah,
it's not ready to go just yet, but we thought we'd let our listeners know what we're working on. It's going to take us a bit to get everything set up and do some test streams and things like that. But we are looking at doing probably about 2 streams a week at the moment of just different games, depending on what we're playing. Also, I'm going to go back and do the Bloodborne challenge. So once I get all that up,
Bloodborne challenge.
That's right. Meaning the Bloodborne challenge was, which I started last year but never went on with it, is play the game Bloodborne. Every time I die, I have to do some sort of exercise. So the exercises I had down were push-ups or sit-ups or squats or lunges or a minute plank. Any of those things. So I'll be streaming that, and you'll be able to watch me do these exercises as I die in the game.
So you'll
be able to cheer every time I die. And then I might even get, you know, if we've got people in the chat on Twitch, get them to suggest what exercises I should be doing each time I die.
That is dangerous. I'll be watching that for sure.
Yeah, so I'll be looking at doing that. But yeah, so we're in just the midst of getting everything ready for that. So stay tuned for more info on that. As I said, it's going to take us a bit to get everything set up, and we're going to do some test runs and make sure we've got it all down and working 100%. And then we'll let everyone know where you can find us and when you can watch us too. So we'll release like a little schedule each week on what times we're going to be on, so you can tune in and check out what games we're playing.
That brings us straight into what was going to be quite a big session, because I have been gone for 6 weeks, but we're going to take it down and talk a bit about that next time. We've got a lot to cover, but we're going to talk about some games we've been playing. I got a chance to jump into Impatient, the new PSVR game. So that's an exclusive one made by the guys that did Until Dawn, Supermassive Games. I've been really curious about jumping into this because it looks like legitimately scary. And it was. This was quite terrifying. I played it in the middle of the day because, you know, that's how I roll. And I was still terrified. It's a little bit slow. And it was one of the first VR games that kind of made me a bit queasy. I don't know if that was because of the subjects on screen or just like the movement itself. But it was hard to do. And
So what exactly do you do in this one?
It's like, well, you kind of walk around. I guess it's like a walking simulator. There's no real action. You're just picking up things and looking at it, and things are happening around you. You're trapped in sort of like a mental asylum. Someone's doing these experiments on you, and it's very much like the first Until Dawn, you know, where you're kind of just choosing conversation trees and, you know, choosing what you're saying, and that depends. There's a whole butterfly effect, like the first game, and it really affects how the story goes and what happens next. And, you know, you wake up in these different segments, you go to sleep and wake up, and things are all different depending on how you've reacted, what you've said, who you've trusted. And there's even parts where, like, you know, you wake up in a dream or you step out of your room and you have to go down a couple of hallways. And it seems like you can walk around a bit, but you can only actually choose a certain direction. And once you've gone down that, thinking, all right, I'll do that, then I'll come back. It just changes to the next part of the game, and you're like, oh, damn, okay, that was a decision. So that's kind of cool. It catches you off guard throughout the game with different sort of things like that. There's a fair bit of jump scares. So I guess, you know, whether you're into that, some people love that, some not so much. But, you know, just know that those are hanging out. It's just a little bit slow is the only thing. And I know a lot of that is tension.
Yep.
But there's like tension, tension, tension. Okay, guys, I'm done with the tension.
Yeah.
You know, and that happens a little bit. And then it makes, I don't know, the jump scares kind of turn into like wake up scares. Because I'm like, oh, God, yep, that's right. What were you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bit of that. But I think it's one of the more genuinely eerie, frightening experiences I've had, even more than Resident Evil, personally. And that's just for me. I don't know. It scared me more than Resident Evil, just because, I don't know, I guess you're doing less. Resident Evil, you're more action-y and, like, you know, actually interacting with the game. So that means there's something else for your brain to do. Whereas this, you're just listening, watching, choosing, and you're like kind of really sucked in. So when things happen, they really freak you out. And it's not all jump scares. I have to say that straight up. Like, some of it is genuinely eerie and scary and sort of like messing with your brain a lot. So,
okay.
Yeah, I was very impressed.
So if someone has VR and they enjoy horror or being scared, you'd recommend this one for them?
Yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag. I'd recommend it, but also be aware that it's quite a long session, which some people aren't so good with. So just know that, you know, you can get out anytime, it auto saves, and try to do it, you know, in sort of hour bursts, because it just gets a bit full on. I guess everyone's different, but it is one of the longer ones.
Mm-hmm.
So just go in knowing that, you know, it's not one of those like 2 or 3 hour experiences. But yeah, I definitely recommend it outside of that.
Cool. All right. Well, yeah. Another game I had a look at this week, there was a stress test for Sea of Thieves.
Yes. So Sea of Thieves.
Yep. We signed up and we finally got to try out Sea of Thieves. Like, it was, we only got to play it for, I reckon, about 2 hours. But for that little brief period of time, I was pretty impressed.
But yeah, the first thing I did was I walked outside and I just started taking these screenshots and looking at the island, and I saw the sun, and it was like, it was nighttime when I walked out, and I kind of just watched the sunrise before I even jumped on a boat or anything. And it was beautiful. The lighting in that game and the water, like, wow, stunning. Just a beautiful game. But yeah, and then we eventually got to play together.
Yeah.
With a few randoms on like a big 4-man ship.
Yeah.
There's all these different kind of ships.
That was funny too. We met some American kid from, where was he from?
Illinois.
No. And
was that,
yeah,
it?
he was directing us around a ship. It's like, all right, go raise the anchor. All right, go drop the anchor. Go up the crow's nest. Be my eyes. Be the lookout. And all these sorts of things, which was kind of a unique experience, I guess.
It was really weird because we both went in there and went, who's this kid? He would have been like, I don't know, anything from 10 to 13 or something. And like really young. And we just were like, dude, you don't tell me what to... Oh, yeah, okay. All right. Actually, that's fine.
But he pretty much explained in a strange way on how to play the game by just ordering us around to do stuff. So we've actually learned how to play the game. So when the game launches on the 23rd of March, it's coming out on PC and Xbox, we'll know what we're doing.
Yes. And I'm very excited now because, yeah, I do. And now that we finally get it, the next chance we had to jump on, we're like, all right, let's jump on. And it was over. It was like this fleeting dream.
My funnest bit from that whole experience, though, and this is the little story on what happened. So as Carl and I meet up together on this island, we're like, oh my gosh, we're in Sea of Thieves together and we're jumping around. Some other player runs up and just shoots Carl with his blunderbuss. Just drops Carl dead.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
I was just looking at the menu.
Yeah, so I'm like, all right then. So I turned around and shot that guy, so he dies. And then I looked over at the wharf just near me, and here's his boat at the wharf. So I'm like, all right. Walked over to the boat, got the anchor, and raised the anchor, dropped his sails, and just watched his boat calmly sail off into the sunset without him on it.
Yeah, you jumped off and just waited.
Yeah, I just jumped off. It was like releasing the handbrake on a car, pretty much, and just watching it roll down a hill.
This was just out into the open shore. It was very good.
Now, you can teleport back to your boat, but just the whole process of it was just funny.
It was. I loved it. There was a lot of little moments like that, like, you know, sneaking onto other people's ships. We smashed someone else's ship, which I don't even know how it happened, but it was like this whole adventure where this kid was yelling like, all right, man, the cannon's on the left. And we're like, but he's on our right. He's like, I'm going to make a sharp turn and then he'll be on the left. I'm like, this is amazing. And he does it. He drops the anchor to do this sharp sort of turn thing. Next minute, the bad guys, the other players are there just facing us, and we just let loose on cannons. And then suddenly the ship's sinking and we won. We jumped off. We find him in the water. Sharks are coming at us. We're shooting them. Oh man, this game is going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So March 23, there's cross-play between PC and Xbox One. So if you're on PC, grab it. If you're on Xbox One, grab it. We'll play with you guys. We can go for a sail, have a laugh, drink some rum.
Yes.
It'll be fun.
Yep. Hell yeah. And oh yeah, by the way, if you are going to do that on Xbox, I am The Lyrical. The space Lyrical.
And
and Callum?
I'm Your Face. YourFace.
Yeah. So, you know, add us if you want so you can help us, because I have a feeling that this game is going to really require having people that are there to have fun with you and that you can talk to.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's Sea of Thieves, and where extra hype. We were already hyped for this, but now having a little taste and knowing that that's just a taste, I'm very excited about this game. Yeah, well, you know, we have a lot to cover. We'll talk about a lot more games next week, but we gotta keep flying ahead now. So we're going to jump straight into this week's shout-out. And Callan, you've got that one down. I'm going to hand this over to Callan.
Yep, okay. So the other night, I got to go on another podcast by the name of Super Hype Train. So, yeah, similar name to ours, but Super Hype rather than just Game Train. But, you know, if you want to jump from train to train, go check them out. Pretty much what these guys do is that each week they look at a game that's coming up. So this time it was A Way Out, which releases at the end of March. And we pretty much just spoke about what we thought the game could be like or what impressions we got from the trailer and things like that. So it's a lot about sort of speculation, just getting excited for things. So you can find them at ultrasupermega.com.au, and you can find the Super Hype Train podcast in there. Special thanks to Wilco and Whip for allowing me on the podcast. And also a quick shout out to John from the Slowpokes podcast, who was also on the Super Hype Train that night as well. So the Slowpokes podcast is a podcast about games from months before. So these guys look at games that, I don't know, they pretty much just said they're months behind and everything. So they're looking at Mass Effect at the moment. So they're the Slowpokes podcast. So yeah.
So like years behind, because I think they're even starting Mass Effect from like part one, not just Andromeda.
Yeah.
I love that concept, man. Like, and Slowpoke, like, what a brilliant name. I love how they're doing that and just playing games that we might have missed and jumping in and just giving it their all.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. Go check them out. And so that's the shout outs this week.
Nice. Kind of double shout out.
Yeah.
And that episode was fun, actually.
I thought I'd give John a shout out since he seemed
like a
good bloke as well. So yeah.
Yeah. Oh, nice. All right. Well, nice and neatly, that takes us right into our feature game. This episode is a double feature. Watch out. So the first one was a game that Callan jumped into, actually. Callan, would you like to take us through Kingdom Come Deliverance?
Released the other week, mid-February, on the PC, PS4, and the Xbox One. It is developed by Warhorse Studios and published by Deep Silver. I reviewed this on the Xbox One X, but also played it on the normal Xbox One as well. So I tried it on both.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll just say the Xbox One X was a lot better. The load screens were faster. The graphics were a lot crisper. There was a bit more detail. So, yeah, that's the difference, but I mostly played it on the Xbox One X. So, when I'm talking about graphics, just think of it as on the Xbox One X.
Nice.
So, pretty much this game is an open world medieval first-person RPG. It's set kind of in the real world in the region of Bohemia in 1403. You play as a character called Henry. His village gets attacked by an army. He manages to escape, and the story goes on from there. So you're just pretty much a peasant.
So this is cool. You're not making your own character.
No, no, you're playing as Henry. Henry is the character. So you don't even get to choose what Henry looks like. You are Henry, and you just deal with it.
I like that. That's cool.
So, yeah, you're playing as Henry, and yeah, you start off as a peasant, and no one respects you because you're a peasant and all this. And the story rolls on from there. So throughout the game, it's all first person, and it takes a very realistic approach. So, at the start of the game, you are terrible at swords. You are terrible at bows. So, you pick up a bow, and you start trying to shoot arrows, and you're all shaky of the bow, and it's very hard to aim. But as you do different tasks throughout the game, like go hunting, for instance, you slowly level up your bow skill. And once you reach level 5 of bows, you're holding it a lot more steadier, so you can actually do clean shots with it. With the sword, as you use the sword throughout the game, you get faster with the sword, you can do better combos with the sword, you start doing better damage with the sword, things like this. So it's a very sort of organic leveling system. So what you like to do, what weapon you like to use, you get stronger with that particular weapon.
So people who played Skyrim could be kind of familiar with that concept a little bit.
That's right. So, nice. And the combat is very hard at first, especially in just, you know, just one-on-one sword fights. There's some good tutorials throughout the game and to learn, and there's a guy you can keep training with to teach you as well, which is I did a lot of and got very used to combat. So the one-on-one combat I got very used to, and it feels weird at first because it's all first person. There are no spells in this game. There are no dragons in this game. There is no undead in this game. This is set in, like, proper medieval times. So, and with the armor in this game, if you hit someone on the arm and they've got it protected, you're going to do less damage than if you hit them on, let's say, their shoulder or their elbow, which might not be protected for whatever reason and things like that. Man, so you've got to...
So full on.
So depending on your opponent, you have to choose which way you're going to attack with your sword or whatever weapon you have. It gets very hard when more than one person joins the battle. It gets very hard because you're going to be having to deflect attacks from multiple sides. And I found myself struggling quite a lot when more than one person would join combat.
Wow.
But then later on in the game, where I'm up to now, I've actually gotten rid of the sword because I felt battles were taking too long. I switched to maces.
Oh.
So okay. I'm walking around with this mace now, and I am two-hitting people with this thing. Combat has now gotten too easy. I can walk through five guys and just bang, 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 just bludgeon them all down.
Okay, so there's a decent difficulty curve if you kind of give it the time, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I had to get my character's strength up to be able to wield this mace, which took quite a while, and then I had to buy the mace, and money's quite hard to come by in this game, so there was like 800 coin, and that took quite a while to get. But once I got this mace, wow. I was just swinging for victory, pretty much. But then there's a lot of other things to do with realism in this game. Like, after a battle, you might be all bloody and muddy, and people might not react to you well when you're all bloody and muddy, so you got to go wash yourself in a bath.
Nice,
you have to eat, you have to sleep in this game. As well as your character's stamina and health goes down. You can get poisoned if you eat bad and off food, so you got to make sure you've either got fresh food or food that won't go off, like pretzels.
Okay, so it's kind of survival elements there,
there is
as
survival
well.
Elements, yeah. And
all right.
Yeah, and things like that. And it's not the biggest world, and it's not the most varied world. It's all green countrysides, but it's also foresty as well. The forests are glorious. Actually, the forests are really nice in this game. From what I've seen, there is no snow or you know, volcanoes or, you know, all that other stuff that you might go on in adventure games. So it's yeah, very rolling hills, farmlands, small towns, some castles, things like that. That's pretty much forests. Nice. That's your landscape. But yeah, you can do alchemy, you know, hunting, learn to cook better. You have to learn how to read. So you go visit a scholar and he teaches you how to read because back then peasants couldn't read. So you get taught how to read.
Wow, yeah, of course.
Also, with the quests, okay, you know in some games when they're like, oh, just come and see me tomorrow morning, and you're like, huh, I'll just go off and do 50 quests and come back. And, you know, it's been like 100 in-game days. Now, in this game, if they say, oh, meet me here in the morning for a side quest or whatever, go meet them in the morning. Because if you leave it for that period of time and the time passes, they're not going to be there. They're going to move on and do something else, that NPC.
Wow, that's really cool. I like that.
So there's a little bit of pressure there at times with things. I found the main story quest, it doesn't do that, but the side quests has that element. So, yeah. So just be careful, that sort of thing. So, yeah, that's probably the gist of the game. What I really liked about this game was that you grow as a player as Henry grows. So as Henry gains experience, you as a player feel more accomplished in the way you're doing because it's a difficult game to play, but once you learn it, and it takes a bit... it gets quite good. I felt I had to think about every encounter I go into, except for now when I got the mace and I just freaking go, boom, you know. And I really like the countryside and the forests and the hunting aspects as well. I just enjoy just cruising through the forest with a bow. So even there, it's poaching animals, and that was illegal. Only the nobles were allowed to go hunting in certain areas back in the day. So all the meat that you get from your hunting is actually considered stolen because you've poached it all. So some people won't buy the meat unless you go and cook the meat and then they'll buy it. So that's what I've been doing, going poaching all these animals, cooking up the meat and then selling it. So Somebody else thinks there is lockpicking this game, but this is something that really irked me. The lockpicking is terrible on console. It is broken. It doesn't work properly. The controls are awkward. I watched several tutorials on YouTube. They all complained about the same thing. On PC, it's supposed to work quite well. It just didn't transition well onto the console, which was a real shame. I really enjoyed lockpicking and pickpocketing in these sorts of games, and I've missed out on whole quest lines because I haven't been able to do it. I just skipped it in the end. A patch is incoming, but it just frustrated me, and it's brought the score down big time for me for this. Another thing is I was doing a story, and I got up to this major story beat. Like, all this stuff had been leading up to this one moment, and as I approached this one moment in the game where a cutscene's supposed to play, I just got a black screen and just had the words in the bottom of the screen and a loading screen there. I missed this whole cutscene, and I didn't want to reload the game and do what I'd just done because it was friggin' hard what I just went through. So I missed out on this full story beat cutscene for bugs. Another thing which is really difficult about this game is the saving. Now, most games you can save or auto-save anyway. In this game, it will save when you go to sleep for a long period of time, or if you drink these schnapps, which can only carry a maximum of 3 on you at a time, and they're very expensive. They're about 80 to 90 coin, depending on where you buy them from in the game. That's the only times you can save, and there's the occasional autosave. Occasional. I got caught out one night with this and lost 1.5 hours worth of play. So, on PC, people have made some mods where you can just save wherever you want. But on console, it's not like that. Now, they said the developers said they are adding this in the next patch, a way on save on quit. But even then, I feel like you should just be able to save wherever you want, because it's really frustrating getting killed and you're like, oh, cool, I haven't saved it for an hour.
Yeah, that seems really dated to me. Yep. Like a kind of forced challenge.
Forced difficulty.
Yeah,
which it doesn't need to be like that. Like, let me save it outside of camp or whatever, you know. But yeah, that was some of the more frustrating things. So at the end of the day, I've given this game a 7.5. I think it's a solid game. There's a lot there to build on, but with some of the features that do need updating, like the lock picking and the saving, and some of the bugs I've encountered, I'm giving this one a 7.5.
Wow. Okay, 7.5. It sounds. I mean, those bugs are kind of scaring me off, but like the concept and the realism and the attention to detail still sounds really interesting to me. So I think I'm still keen to check this one out myself.
All right. So on to your review of Metal Gear Survive.
Welcome to D-Tay, the world beyond the wormholes. It exists in a dimension separate from your own. Abandon all hope from here on, not to mention fear and doubt. Wanderers.
Okay, so Metal Gear Survive, I got to jump into that this week. This is the newest game from Konami, published and developed by them. You know, there's a little bit of controversy behind this. I'm going to try and sort of skip all that because I'm trying to review this as it is. But, you know, it is a bit tricky. Try and, you know, take it with a grain of salt, all that kind of background stuff with Kojima and whatnot. But so this is the follow-up to the incredible Metal Gear Solid 5. Mm-hmm. Apparently same engine, you know, all that kind of thing. Basically, it's a surviving version of that. You play as, you know, a custom character that you create. You're in a different dimension, sort of based right after the events of Metal Gear Solid 5. You know, you can see right next to the base that you're in, that the mother base, which you helped build and create in 5, is sort of destroyed right next to you, you know, sort of walking distance in the background. Yep. So you can see everything's there, but yeah, you're in this weird dimension where there's these strange infected things they call wanderers that are pretty much just zombies, but they have a weird shiny element spike instead of a head, and you can collect this to get like this thing called Kuban energy, and you build that up, and that helps you do things like level up and upgrade, and from that you can get little, you know, extra things like stronger punches, more health, you know, a bit of an RPG element there. You can collect things from the world, which helps you craft everything from weapons to gear to health. You gotta watch everything. So when they say this, you know, this is called Metal Gear Survive, and they're not kidding. Surviving is of utmost importance in this game. Like, every move you make takes away a little bit of health and a little bit of stamina. If you run for about 10 seconds, you have to stop because you're tired. Mm-hmm. So you got to make sure you stop before the stamina completely runs out. And you can fill that up by drinking, and you have to find bottles and fill them up with water. That water isn't clean, so you got to go and, you know, find a pot and heat it up on some fire to make sure it's clean. Or you can find clean bottles of water in some places. Food is the same. You got to hunt down animals, whether they're sheep or wolves or goats. And you can't eat it raw because you might get sick, in which case you have to find medicine, which is extremely hard to find. So you have to take it back to your base, cook the food. And this is all before doing a single mission.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The starting was extremely hard. The difficulty curve is beyond anything I've experienced, only because the translation is so tricky. And the tutorial, I don't know how to put this anything but bluntly, is just like straight up boring. It's awful. It just, and they tell you, like, there's this AI you meet when you get to this new dimension that they call Dite. And it's this strange AI which is like a robot, and it's talking to you in two different voices, like a female and a male, but it's really, really slow. I'm not sure why, but it talks extremely slowly, and that's what's giving you your instructions. But in the background, they have a little window with your instructions in there of what to do, you know, step one, two, and three. But on top of those words that you're trying to read are the subtitles of what the AI is saying, which is effectively the same thing. On, like, it's just such a muddled up mess at the start there. And you can turn off subtitles, but then sometimes you can't quite understand what's going on. So, you know, it's recommended that you have them on. That's a bit of a mess, but, you know, you figure it out eventually. The menu system is like, holy moly. I had to look up a guide to see how to take out my bow, because I eventually made a bow and I was like, all right, I'll just equip this. Oh, no, not here. And, you know, you usually just sort of muddle around the menu and figure it out. I've played enough games for the last 20 years to know my way around a menu. Obviously not. I could not. I was like, I'm sure I made this thing. Where is it? And did I put it here? And I checked my, like, base sort of storage. I checked what I had. And you had to go into this special place to craft it and then change the system that you're crafting in. And there was your bow. And then you equipped it via there. It was, and that's just pulling out a bow. You know, there's, like, there's guns and there's spears and you can upgrade those. There's a lot to it. And after playing Monster Hunter, you know, like, I came straight off Monster Hunter, and it was just, it was so weird because Monster Hunter has, you know, you've talked about this last episode. There's just so much in that game. And especially for newcomers, some people have been playing Monster Hunter for years, and I was new to it. So I was overwhelmed with all the systems and tutorials. However, everything is laid out in such a way that you can really adapt and learn to it so naturally and, like, find yourself going around those menus, like, with ease, and everything makes sense. Everything's where it should be. They have, like, eight different places to find your storage box. And, you know, five different quest walls, which are the same quest wall, but just to make it convenient. Wherever you are, there's a way to enter a quest or a way to reach your box, you know, whether you're in your room, you're upstairs, you're downstairs. I love that.
Yep.
Not in Metal Gear Survive. No way, man. There's, like, one box, and it's, you got to reach it. You got to get all the way there. The fast travel you have to work for by doing all these different fighting waves of zombies. It's so tricky because I'm not even up to, like, just the normal gameplay cycle yet. So, and, you know, I fear that this will chase a lot of people off. So don't be scared by the initial massive learning curve. Be scared by what it has to follow. Oh, man, this is really hard because I'm just trying to jump into this game and find something good, because I went in knowing, like, okay, people are ready to hate this. And we've talked about this in past episodes. People are waiting to, you know, dish out on this game and just hate it already. So it needs to be next level good. It can't even just be okay. It needs to be amazing so that people can just go, oh, okay, a game can live on its own merit without, you know, politics in the background. And unfortunately, it's like, it's barely okay. There's like the stealth. Okay, so this is the Fox engine that came from Metal Gear Solid 5. So I thought, how could they go wrong? They'll just change it. You know, I'm so sad Snake's not in it, but at least it'll still be a gorgeous game with beautiful mechanics. And somehow they've gone backwards. I don't know how, but it looks like someone's emulated a PS3 game, early PS3, and just made like some high-def textures.
Oh, wow.
Like everything's triangle. The whole thing's muted. Like, it's so bland to look at. Everything's brown. I took some screenshots because I don't want to sound like I'm just talking smack about this game. So I'm going to show some screenshots, you know, like some ones that aren't taken by PR, like just me playing. And there's like a broken down truck in the background that you can't see because it is from the same exact color palette from the mountain behind it and the floor underneath it and the bush next to it. Like everything is just this gray brown.
So, and how does this relate into the old Metal Gear games if it's got the name Metal Gear? Is it just because Mother Base is in the background and you get warped off to this other world? Is that it?
Yes. Yep. That's it. It's, I mean, you know, granted, I didn't finish it, so I don't know if there's some big twist in the end. I know that you can, there's a lot of sort of callbacks. You can create Metal Gears. Like, the actual aim of the game is you're in this base. You got to build up your base so you can sort of find materials to build your base up, and you can find survivors out in this world and add them to it, kind of like the Mother Base mechanic. Mm-hmm. You find a nurse, you find a, you know, a guy that helps you with mechanical stuff and so on, but you place everything and build it slowly, and you build your defenses. Sometimes it gets attacked by these zombies. You got to travel out into the world, collect things, bring it back, get stronger, you know, weapons and base. And I think it's, you know, you can get up to a stage where you're building metal gears.
Yep.
And your own kind of equipment. So I think that's the way they call back to Metal Gear. And I don't know, I think it's just a cheap way of saying we're using the same assets, the end.
Okay.
Because they've ruled out any real connection because they're saying, like, this is an alternate universe. It is a different dimension. Nothing here is the same. And you just got to survive.
Yep.
And it's just, there's a stage I got to, which has never happened to me, and I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but I thought I might as well say it for some people. Callan knows that I'm not really a, you know, a Dark Souls guy, because, I don't know, I find that game too hard for me, and yet games like Celeste and Super Meat Boy I love. So I like a different kind of difficulty, and the Dark Souls stuff, I'm always like, I can appreciate the beauty, but they're a bit hard, but, you know,
okay,
just give it some time and game design, so on. But in this, I reached the point where I wanted to get further in the game so I could review it better, but I could not pass it because of, like, trying to survive, trying to heal, trying to manage. You can bring out these fences, and it was just a case of get good. So I thought, all right, I'm just bad at this, so let me just learn how to be better. And I tried this same thing, which was just fighting off three waves of bad guys, kind of like a horde mode, you know, to protect this warp drive thing. And it said, you know, protect this and get to the next part of the game. I'm like, cool, I'll do that. And I tried this five times. Once with David was with me, David Fisher, a good friend of ours. He was sitting there with me. I was like, you got to watch me play this game. I'm going to just try this for a fifth time. I've already announced to myself that I give up, but I'll try once more. And I couldn't for the life of me get through this point. And so, unfortunately, I can't even review it past there.
Okay.
So,
what is your score for this game for where you got to then?
For what I experienced and how it captured me and how it interested me. Just before I get to that, there's one more thing I wanted to mention. Sorry, man. I wish I wasn't just bagging out so much because I don't want to. I want to love this game. But another thing, if you just want another save, because I made a girl.
Yep.
And, you know, if I wanted to try a guy, you have to buy it. And it costs $16 just for another to roll again, you know, a re-roll, just another guy. Or if I had two people using the same Xbox and we didn't have two different, accounts, my friend, my brother, my son, someone wanted a turn, it's an extra $16.
Wow.
You got to, and you can make four characters, but they're each $16.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's awful.
I've just never seen such blatant evil in a console game, like a full price console game. This isn't free to play. You know, like, they have their money. I was just baffled. And the argument is you can make these points while playing. Yep. But I played for ages. And they're these, like, SV points. You need 1,000 SV points for a new save. But you can't buy 1,000. You can buy 900, or you can buy 1,150. Yeah, like, come on. Anyway, I thought, all right, I'll just play enough to get one. I played for ages, and I managed to scrounge 80 of the 1,000 I needed. They're like, okay, you have 80, so you still need 920. I'm like, no way. What if I want to try both kind of at the same time, you know, so you can get a feel of which one you want to play with?
Yeah.
Oh, so there's that. And then there's one more thing, which was one of my favorite things in Metal Gear Solid 5, which is the same engine, which was their AI, and playing with that and toying with, you know, the stealth and the enemies. And just, it was a lot of fun and seeing what you could do. And in this, the AI is legit, like not even PS3, like PS2 era. Like, this is awful. These guys were running into walls that were like, I don't know how to describe it. It wasn't a wall. It was like a corner. It was like, just take a step to the left and I'm right there. And this zombie is like clowering at the edge of this wall. And I don't know. And like, these fences and being zombies, I feel, is like this weird excuse for the terrible AI. I'm just watching and just going like, this is terrible. This is not from the pedigree I'm used to of the Metal Gear legacy. Yep. You know, even if it had a different name, like just like Survive R Us, it would just be still like mediocre. But from something that is as high standing as Metal Gear Solid and the series that was before, they have no dud games. You know, like, this is a series of just height after height. Even their first sort of, you know, offshoot, that Metal Gear Revengeance, that had nothing really to do with the actual Metal Gear Solid series, was an excellent adventure game. Yep. Action game, I should say. It was tight. It was beautiful. It was fun. I haven't had such a time since starting this podcast where every time I got on there, it felt like hard work. So I'm so sad, but I've had to give this a 4.5 out of 10. Oh. Because sometimes it feels like Metal Gear Solid 5 and reminds me of the good times. Okay. That's where any of the points come. It makes me want to go back and experience that game again. So, yeah, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, that's Metal Gear Survive. Alrighty, so that's our feature games for this episode. That takes us right into this feature that we've started again, Games of Our Lives. Now, this time it was with a bit of a twist. We're doing our favorite game of every system we've ever owned.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the
games of our lives. So, Callan, you want to start us off today?
Sure, all right. Well, we spoke about Atari last time that you were on, and so what I had after the Atari was the original Game Boy, which was that amazing white block that you could play awesome games on. Now,
yes,
I had my Game Boy for many years.
Yep.
Favorite game all up on Game Boy, I have to go Pokemon, just because of just what it was.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Nice. But notable mentions goes out to Super Mario Land 2, Donkey Kong Land, Tetris, and Buri Fighter. Tetris and Buri Fighter is what I got with my original Game Boy, but Super Mario Land 2 and Donkey Kong Land were both classics, but Pokemon just goes another level. So that's what I loved. Everyone knows what Pokemon is. I hope they do anyway, but I just love this game. And everything that started, and it started on that original Game Boy all those years ago. I remember getting Pokemon Blue and just absolutely loving it.
That's awesome. Yeah, man. Like, you can't go past Pokemon. I mean, Tetris. I still love Tetris now. I've done 40 hours on Puyo Puyo Tetris on the Switch. And that game's like perfect. But yeah, Pokemon. What a freaking legacy on a handheld.
Yep.
I never had a Game Boy, sadly. I missed that whole thing. And there's four of us brothers in the family, and all three of them, all the three others, all had a Game Boy. in different forms. Even my older brother, who doesn't even play games. So I don't know what happened there. I used to be excited for him to come home from boarding school just so I could play his Game Boy. So mine, unfortunately, no Game Boy. Mine was the Game & Watch, which is one of Nintendo's most old school handheld game systems. These all came separately. You bought a Game & Watch game, and that's all you had. It was kind of the same technology as like a calculator, you know, where the images appear on the screen with like, I don't know what that technology is. It's so old school. What do you know what that is?
No.
It's like these, kind of like the digital watch, you know, same kind of inky things that come up and they're already in the game and they just kind of appear as you traverse through it. But the Game & Watch that I had was the Zelda one, and it was, I love this thing, man. I thought I had the future of the world in my hands. See, as a lot of you guys know, I grew up in the Solomon Islands. We were very backwards. So this was the be-all and end-all. This was multi-screen, you know, Game & Watch. You flipped it open and there was a screen at the top and one at the bottom. You had this little Zelda Link sprite. It was just called Zelda. Not like Adventure of or nothing, just Zelda. You had some skeletons you had to avoid. And right at the top, on the top screen, that I never got to, was a dragon. And he kept Zelda in his, like, locked up in a cage, and you had to go up and save him. There was a Triforce there that you could collect pieces of. You had to get a map and an axe. It was really cleverly done. But if you go look at it now, it's like, it's just this awful thing with, I mean, it's still brilliant for what it was, but man, it was barely a game, but I loved it. So yeah, that was my favorite on that console because, I mean, it's the only one on there. So yeah.
Cool.
Zelda. Rock and roll. All right, guys, let's go straight to the passenger queries. We have a couple here. One is pretty interesting, so we'll get straight onto that one. Let's do that one. We got this from Instagram, and someone from at No Biased Podcast. Is that what it's called, right?
The No Biased Podcast.
The No Biased Podcast. All right. He asks us, can you tell me when Red Dead Redemption 2 and Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming out? Interesting.
Yep, Red Dead Redemption 2, October 26.
Yep, also Callan's birthday. Extra trivia. Yep. Just a bonus one.
Kingdom Hearts 3, we don't know.
And yeah, apparently 2018. So that's the end of that. Thank you for that question. I felt funny answering it and not just kind of answering it right on there, but I promised him I'd answer it on the show, so I couldn't just like Google it and say like here. Anyway, our next one comes from Reef. You want to hit us with this one, Callan?
So Reef asks, you know, with Labo coming, you know, what other Labos would you like to see produced? So for his, it was like a AT-AT from Star Wars.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So mine would be just a train. Why not? Let's game train. Woo! Choo choo.
A train. Yep,
we'll go a train.
Okay.
What about yours?
I like that. Well, mine was weird. I don't know if there's an existing thing, but I was thinking, like, I wonder if they could make sort of like, what are those things called from the 90s? Like pogs?
Like,
is that what
yes.
it is? And you flick them onto each other?
Yeah.
And, you know, a little game. Like, I was wondering if they could sort of cross Amiibo with Nintendo characters or something and do something with, like, make your own. I don't know. But I had this image of some sort of, I was right into pogs back in the day. And, you know, collecting these Looney Tune characters and whatever. I don't know. It's a hard question to answer because I'm like, is that a viable answer? Is that even possible? But then you said train, so...
Yeah.
Who knows? How do you... This is such a, like, uncharted world for us.
Yep.
But yeah. Actually, having said that, funnily enough, Reef, I don't know if you know this, but Nintendo showed off something that's included in the new Nintendo Labo, which is what they're calling Toy-Con Garage. They showed it off at the New York press event that they had recently. And it's apparently something that lets you create your own custom plaything. Totally straight off there. It's off the main menu, sitting on that software, ready to go. And apparently, it effectively makes the options limitless. So check that out, Toy-Con Garage. You know, that's kind of something we thought we'd mention to Reef there.
Cool.
So his idea kind of came true. All right, guys. Yeah, we're rushing a little bit because we're running short on time here. That's kind of the end of our show, which takes us to what we always end with, our lame train, our love train, and our hype train. So let's jump straight into the lame train.
My lame train this week is there is no ability without private messaging the person on Overwatch to tell them to change their character, right? You can on PC, you can type it in, hey, happy dude 23, can you play a tank instead of Ana?
Yeah,
right. I'm just sick of it on console. You can't do this, and like Happy Dude 23 is running around as like a Genji when we already have a Widowmaker and a Hanzo and an Ana on the team, and it's just like, what are you doing? Think.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm just getting very annoyed with that.
Wow, I'm sure our media specialist Twan will be very happy with that lame train.
Yep.
My one this episode is missing two episodes and not getting to talk about half the games I've been playing because of epic time restrictions and not having to talk about...
You can do a sidecast if you want, and we can call it games Carl's been playing or something. You can talk for an hour on everything you've played the last 6 weeks.
It was... No, it's just... I don't even have time. I just missed it all. It just disappeared. But, you know, at least every time we finish a game, we're popping up a little something about it on our website. So, you know, jump on there and check it out now that it exists. GameTrainPodcast.com. Very simple. But yeah, that's my lame train, was just missing all these episodes. It was like, it sounded like a lot of fun.
Yep.
And you know, it's just nice to be back.
Welcome back.
So thank you. Let's jump into the love train. All right. Callum, I think you might have the same love train as I have.
I'll
this
keep
week.
It really brief because I could go on about this topic, what it is, for ages. Okay, Skate 3, I've been playing it. It's backwards compatible. I've been playing it on the Xbox One X, which is enhanced it now. And actually, it looks really good. One's really smooth. One thing I don't like about Skate 3 is the soundtrack. But then I figured out I can run Spotify through my Xbox. And then we booted up a Tony Hawk a Pro Skater music playlist, which is some of the best skateboarding music of all time. And I had that playing as I was playing the game all through the Xbox. I just muted the sound in Skate 3. Just had the ambient sound going, the skateboarding noises like all that sort of stuff. And the Tony Hawk soundtrack going. It just felt like I was playing like a reimagined Tony Hawk. And it was so much fun.
Oh, man. That sounds like an alternate reality of what Tony Hawk should have become.
Yep.
But, well, yep. My love train this time is the same thing, because as soon as he was doing that, we were on chat. I was playing Monster Hunter and he was playing Skate 3. And I just went, okay, I'm going to try that. I didn't know it was that simple. So you just open Spotify on your phone, and then on the Xbox, it just says play a song on your phone, and you do it and it figures it out as long as you're on the same Wi-Fi, and it pops it right into the game. You know, when you go on transitions, the music even stops and then starts again. So it just feels like it's in there. And I was playing Monster Hunter, listening to the album, Hayley Calvert's latest album, which was just like this beautiful, easy listening soul, female vocals in the background of me hunting these dragons. And it was this epic experience. So I can't wait to just mix and match all these different games with whatever I want. Maybe some of my own music just for fun, see what happens.
Yep.
But yeah, that's my, that's our love train, I guess. Oh, that sounds
very
romantic.
Simple.
Okay. Yep. Next one and last one for this episode is the hype train.
Hype train.
Boom. Which could be the same as well, but what is yours?
Two words, Eve 3.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Two characters.
Two characters.
That's how short it is.
Yeah.
E3, that's it. Yep. Mine's the same. I mean, we're just so connected this time. I like
that. It's the biggest gaming expo on the planet each year. It's where all your big names get announced. There's a lot of hype going on there. Somewhere that I've always wanted to go to since I was a teenager. And then to be able to attend it as media and get some of that behind-the-scenes access, well, is just... Like, just going there for starters would have been great. But this has just sort of just enhanced it that much more. Just being able to... We get 2 hours extra access each day on the show floor before normal people come in.
That's incredible. I don't know if you did, but when we started this like less than a year ago, I had no expectations or even the wildest dreams that we would be going to E3 as media in less than a year.
No, neither did I. I remember someone made a comment to us last year when we were doing our express cast about E3 from here in Australia. It's like, are you guys going to E3? Yeah. And we're like, no. No, we are going.
Yep. Yeah, maybe you should go back and find that comment and just write, yes. well, okay, that's this episode. Sorry it was a little bit long this time, guys. We had a lot to catch up on. But next time, we'll be back in 2 weeks. We're going to talk about Scribblenauts Showdown, which is coming out on the Switch on March the 6th. So that's in 3 days. We're going to jump on that.
3 days play in and talk 5 about days, that.
Mate. I looked at it in the wrong way. Wow. It's coming out in 5 days.
Yeah.
Oh, well, see, I don't know about you, but I have a secret one that's coming out earlier just for me. Just kidding. Just kidding. All right, so we'll be talking about Scribblenauts Showdown and chatting about all our usual stuff, lame train, hype train, questions. Once again, guys, brand new website. So if you got any questions or you want to check out any of the past review scores, you know, or podcasts, jump on there, www.gametrainpodcast.com. There's links on there to find our Facebook and all that kind of thing as well. But yeah, so thank you for listening. Yeah,
thank you.
Callan, anything else?
No, that's it for next week. For this week, sorry. Whoa, jumping ahead. But yeah, stay
future guys.
Stay tuned to everything. As I said, you know, once we get our Twitch all set up, we'll let you guys know where to find us on that. It hopefully will be within the next 2 weeks, but it might be a little longer depending on what happens with it all, how our stream tests go.
Of course.
And yeah, that's about it.
Magic, guys. Thank you again. This has been Game Train.